Our lesson for this period is from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We have been using this period for the last several weeks to look at these sayings that are referred to often as the Beatitudes. Jesus has statements here about the kind of people that we should be, people that the Lord regards as blessed. And this is one of the more vivid and beautiful ones that comes from everyday life. He describes as blessed as those who hunger and thirst. Most of us probably don't think of being hungry and thirsty as being a blessing. And we've all had times where we have gotten hungry and thirsty, but probably not to the degree that we would think of as extreme. In the Antarctic summer of 1908 and 1909, Sir Ernest Shackleton and three companions attempted to travel to the South Pole from their winter quarters. And they set off with four ponies to help carry the load. Weeks later, their ponies had died. The rations were all but exhausted. And they turned back toward their base, not having accomplished their goal on this occasion. Altogether, they had traveled some 127 days. On the return journey, Shackleton records this in his book, The Heart of the Antarctic. He tells about the time they spent all their time on their way back talking about food. It's all they could think about, all they could talk about was food. They imagined sitting down to an elaborate feast. They talked about some of the gourmet delights that they could only dream about, sumptuous menus that they would love, you know, if their life is spared, to be able to sit down and never stop eating. And as they staggered along, suffering, not knowing whether they would survive, whether they would live or die, every waking hour was occupied with thoughts of eating food. Probably none of us have ever been that hungry. To be truly hungry, to be truly thirsty. There's somebody else that we know who got very, very hungry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says that after Jesus had spent 40 days in the desert, on that occasion when Satan came to him and tempted him, the Bible says he got hungry. Oh, I imagine he did. Fasting in the desert. So rather than thinking about the kind of hunger that we have when it's been just a few hours since we have eaten anything, you know, make it from breakfast until lunchtime, we think we've done something great. Maybe we ought to imagine a profound kind of hunger and thirst. In this case, as Jesus is describing in this text for this morning, a spiritual kind of hunger and thirst, a starvation that would lead to death. Think of someone who is starving to death, like the story of the prodigal son, who got so hungry that he longed for what the hogs in the hog pen were eating. Very hungry. Yes, Jesus knew what it was to be hungry. And so he said to his disciples on this occasion, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Why is it, though, that so many who are starving to death spiritually don't seem to even realize their condition. Why is that? Why do so many who do want some sense of fulfillment, who do sense there's just something missing in their life, why do they spend all of their time trying to satisfy that spiritual emptiness with the wrong things, with the wrong kind of food and drink? And they're no more satisfied, no more filled spiritually than they were before. But those are important questions. And that's what this beatitude brings to our minds, some important truths for us to think about. Let's just think about three things for a few moments that we can learn from and be reminded of from this. And the first is that our deepest need is God. We need God. Every human being, based on the way God created us, there is an inescapable need for God. And we're incomplete without it. Without God, there is a void, there's an emptiness that nothing else can fill. Only God can satisfy our deepest needs. And there are many ways of seeing this, and many places in Scripture that call attention to this. We've recently, I think, alluded to Ecclesiastes 3:11, where the wise man says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. God put eternity in our hearts. God made us to be the kind of beings where there is something in us that needs to be filled and satisfied. And we cannot fill that with material things. The psalmist said, "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." The psalmist said, Psalm 63, verse 1. In Psalm 107, he said, "For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." That is, God has done that. There's something in us that can only be filled, that can only be satisfied by the Lord. And I think that Jesus was getting at this when he said, "Everyone who drinks of this living water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the living water that I shall give him shall never thirst." He says, "The water I will give will become in him a water, well of water springing up to eternal life." He talked about this living water that would quench our thirst, our spiritual thirst, so we could never be thirsty again. He spoke of himself as the bread of life. Satisfies the deepest need. As one ancient writer said, "O Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Yes, there is this need. This deepest need that we have is our need for God. And I believe that when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," he's calling attention to this, and we need to give careful, special attention to it. But this beatitude talks about, in particular, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That is, our deepest desire is to seek after righteousness. And he says, "Those who do this will indeed be filled." Remember, Jesus said that of all the things that we worry about, that we're anxious about, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we'll wear for clothing and shelter, all these basic necessities, he said, do what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says that later in this very same sermon in Matthew. And so we have the idea of searching for righteousness. And that's what he uses here in the beatitude to call attention to what we need to be focusing on. Now, when we think about righteousness in the Bible, there are basically two ideas, and they're related to each other. The first is the righteousness that the Bible describes as consisting in a right relationship with God, based on the forgiveness of sins and being justified by grace through faith. That's the way the Scriptures talk about it. Romans especially talks about that. Romans 1, remember that Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he said, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as written, the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And so the idea of righteousness is used in passages like this, or Romans 5:1, where he says, we have been justified by faith. This is the righteousness of God, this right relationship with God. And certainly that's important in what Jesus is talking about here. But the other sense in which the scriptures talk about righteousness that's related to our relationship with God is the righteousness of a transformed life, the life that we live, that we pursue righteousness in our conduct and in our speech and in our dealings with our fellow man and so forth. That we seek after righteousness. That we, as Paul puts it in Romans 6, that we have been freed from sin to become slaves of righteousness, to become servants of righteousness. Now, that's what we strive to do. Paul spoke in Titus chapter 2 when he says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And he says, it instructs us to live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. That's righteousness in the sense of living a righteous life, something we should all strive for. And of course, they're related to each other. If we have a right relationship with God, then yes, we're going to be pursuing a righteous life. And you really can't have one without the other. If we try to live a righteous life without a relationship with God, then we're trying to build it all for our own human merit. And we know Scripture teaches that we cannot do that either. We have to have both. Because you see, God wants us to feel right, not just to feel right, but to do right. He wants us not only to be comforted by the fact that our sins have been forgiven, but He wants us to live in such a way that brings glory to God, the God who has forgiven us of our sins. He offers us not just forgiveness, but transformation of life. He wants us, as Peter puts it, to become partakers of the divine nature, righteousness. The righteousness of God. So, hungering and thirst for righteousness calls attention to our fundamental and basic need for God, and it calls attention to the importance of seeking after the right things, that is righteousness. And so, the way to spiritual fulfillment, the promise here in this beatitude is, those who seek these things will be filled, will be satisfied. All of this suggests the need for having the right priorities in our lives. If we're ever to find that spiritual fulfillment and satisfaction that we're meant to enjoy, we must never think that we can fill this emptiness that we have with substitutes. That's the problem of humankind. We all acknowledge sometimes that we feel empty. We wonder, what's the purpose of life? What does it all mean? And people can get real discouraged, real depressed because they feel like they wonder, what's my purpose? The Bible gives an answer to that. But I think we make a grave mistake if we think we're going to fill this void and fill this emptiness that we feel sometimes with other things. We'll come away feeling more disappointed than ever. Because all of the things that we try to fill ourselves with and fill our hearts and minds with cannot bring us to that fulfillment. So we need to think about, for instance, focusing on being filled with God's Word. That's how to be filled with things we need. That's what we hunger and thirst for, the Word of God. Psalm 119, my soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth, says. How often the word of God is compared to spirit to food. Food and drink, as we see. Jesus said to the devil there, and when he was in the wilderness, and he had gotten very hungry, and the devil tempted him and said, well, Jesus, all you got to do is command these stones to become bread. Take the easy way out. Remember what Jesus said to him? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Don't try to substitute for something else. The word of God. Peter said, like newborn babies, we should long for the pure milk of the Word so that we can grow with respect to salvation. That's what this is about. And not only being filled with the Word of God, we need to have as a priority, a desire to be in the company of God's people. Don't we all realize how fulfilling that is? To just be here in this kind of company, to be here, whether it's with many or with few, to be together with those of like faith so that we can share our faith and join together in praise and worship of God, that fills our soul. Like nothing else. Like those disciples that we read about who were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. They were worshiping. It's God's praise, you see. That's the way to spiritual fulfillment. The desire to worship God. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 84. So many of these writers and psalmists in particular, they had reached some amazing heights in thinking about what it meant to be able to be in fellowship with God. But it all comes down to this. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for God. And to be filled is to be filled with God. That's what it all comes down to. To be filled with the fullness of God. That's what we ought to be striving for. I want to just think about that, to close with that, and read a passage from Ephesians chapter 3 to conclude our lesson for this hour. This is a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers, and so maybe here's where we can bring the two lessons together today. I want to conclude with this prayer from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit, Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And so there it is. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And our prayer should be, as Paul's prayer was, that we will be filled up to all the fullness of God. We will take advantage of every opportunity to eat and drink of the spiritual food and drink that the Lord provides for us in His Word and in His Son Jesus Christ among His people. Be filled with the fullness of God. Thank you for the time that we've had today. It is the most encouraging. It is most fulfilling to be able to share these wonderful words of life and to think about spiritual things and the things that go beyond this life into eternity, to think about that. And I hope we can leave with that thought today. Let it carry us through the coming week. We're going to stand and sing, and if there's anyone who has a need that we can help you with, if someone's ready to become a Christian today, we offer this opportunity as always. And want to help you. While together we stand and if we sing.